pleasure to be in your presence. And I thank the Lord for, I mentioned this before, that when 1929 we moved in here, and I was 7 years old, and we moved in this little house next door. Didn't have no, and the Blaisdell Chapel was from half that back that way. And didn't have any of these side rooms, and didn't even have any plumbing at that time. And there was a, I lose my thought. Anyway, there was an evangelist way back then that parked behind the church here and would be over here. And he had these signs on there, you know, and he would go down south, and he was up in his 80s at the time, his wife, come back up here, and he had a an old, you know, it was a new truck there, but it was about maybe 26 or 27 truck there, so they're high. But even back then, the sides fold out so that him and his wife could sleep in the thing. And they used to come over to use the toilet and to give the bath and stuff over next door. This house is next door. That was a porch on the front, and that was a real small two-bedroom. No cellar under, and you had to get underneath there in the winter and thaw out the pipes. The Palmers know about that. Some of the old houses, right? But anyway, I'm not there. But I thank the Lord for that. We was going to a Baptist church in Buffalo there, but anyway, so I thank the Lord for that was able to come here. And of course, I've told you before, Rowena Tim was my first Sunday school teacher. And if this was the part here, I was over here, and I remember I won something because I said the 23rd Psalm. But anyway, I got sweet memories of all of you and all the ones that's passed on or moved out, and I feel it a privilege and a blessing that the Lord seed fit to put me here. And so we gotta be thankful, because so many of the churches down through the real fundamental, the big churches, they don't even preach the gospel. It's a social gospel. A lot of them, their hymn books don't even have anything about the blood of Jesus Christ. And I don't know where some of these ones, they keep talking, where they're coming from. I don't think they read the Bible. And so that's what I'm going to be dwelling on, like I've been doing for the last 20-some years, about getting in the Scriptures for feeding your own soul and spirit, and have a quiet time with the Lord at least 15 minutes a day. You know, I've been talking about Bible pathways for the last 26 or 7 years. That's another thing I thank for Dr., I can't even think of his name, that they give out every year the January issue of that. And I got it the year that Rita was, my first wife, was in the hospital and then eventually passed away that year. And I thought, boy, this is good, but I put it up on the shelf, and I, you know, was so busy then I didn't. I'm thankful somebody sent me another one the next year. And that's the way I got into it. And because it's a blessing to be in the Word. And it's inexhaustible. Let's turn to 2 Timothy, the well-known verses. 2 Timothy 3:16. Same with, okay, we'll read here. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that man or person of God, man, woman, or child of God, may be that perfect is complete. Not, none of us are going to be perfect, but it's a complete, more complete in our lives, and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We're saved, not by works, but we're saved unto works. You can tell a person, well, I'm saved, but if they don't see any fruit, that you're going by, you could doubt, right? And so all through the scriptures, it's telling about God. You know, how thankful we are. We wouldn't, the scriptures, you wouldn't even know about creation. You wouldn't know about God or anything. So it's great that God had holy men of God inspired by the Holy Spirit to put down in writing what God wanted us to know. He's got a lot of... It looks... I'm not a fast reader, and I never was that great. And so if you don't read, boy, reading right in arithmetic... I was good in arithmetic, but I wasn't good in reading. I was slow, and you can't spell or anything. I mean, so it's good to read and get to that. But it's the best thing is to read the Bible. The average Christian that goes to church goes on Sunday morning, and hears whatever the pastor has to say or the evangelists or anything like that, and of course, and I say in a lot of these churches they're not getting the real truth. They're getting ideas of what that person thinks they're saying, and that's the thing. And the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, that they went home and searched the scriptures to see if what Paul was telling them was right. And he said, that's what we should be doing. So if you're never in the scriptures, you don't even know whether you're being told a lie or anything. And so that's what here Timothy, he tells us that it's good for profitable, for teaching, that doctrine is teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for instructions in righteousness. So let's turn to, I got a lot of places to go. See where I was going to. Okay, let's go to Job. Job's the book before Psalms. So just open the book, your Bible, in the middle, and you're probably in Psalms, and then just go back to Job. Job, the good thing that we know about this, he says, you know, in my flesh, I will see God. Way back then, he was looking forward to it. And he had his, if you remember the story, the devil was, you know, accusing him that God, that he was helping him so much because he was a rich man and he had a big family and all that there. But I don't want to get sidetracked on all this there. But anyway, he allowed Satan to do some things to Job, and finally he ends up, and he's lost his whole family. He's lost all his riches, and he gets three good friends. They said they were good friends, and they just hit him. Says, "Well, you did something wrong. You sinned real bad." And he said, him himself knows he didn't sin real bad to deserve that. And he was all of boils and everything else, and scratching himself with potsherd. Man, that must have been terrible. But anyway, here's where his turning point was in Job. I got myself off here. I don't even know what my paper is here. 19. Job 23. Job 23. Keep going this here thing. It says a note in Schofield there, 23:10, this is probably the high point of Job's search for a solution for his problems. It says, from 10 on till through 12. But God knoweth the way that I take. And he knows all of our ways, right? When he hath tested me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way has kept, I kept, and I'm not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments. That's the first five books of the law, which was all that they had in some of those times until they got more of the other ones, the prophets and stuff. Anyway, and the words of his mouth are more than my necessary food. I found that verse some years back there. I like to pray that when I'm ready to open the Word of God. And I says, help me to esteem your Word more than my necessary food. And I'm telling you, you can see it. I don't miss a meal, and I have snacks. And you should have seen me when I when Rita got sick. I went for a physical, and I was 235 pounds. So I went on a diet, lost 40 pounds in a year, I'm telling you, because he says, you're getting a high blood pressure. Well, and I want to esteem his word more than my necessary food. And I think each of us should do that. And we can, we won't turn to that there, but in, here's my thing here. Jeremiah, and you don't have to turn to that there, is, if you know, Jeremiah was the weeping prophet because he had a tough job to preach to the people about the coming disaster, and he got put in a hole in the floor one time down in a dungeon, or not a dungeon, but just a big pit. And it was down in muck, and I've mentioned that before. There was a black guy came over to the king and says, he's going to die down in there. And so he says, can't we get him out? And because they wanted to get rid of him. And he brought cloths with him. If you've ever been somewhere where you can hook around a rope around here, well, it'll cut you right in here. That's a tender spot. He sent cloths down there to put underneath his for that thing. God was blessing him for the rest of generations. God sees small little things and blesses your family for some of those things there. And so he said, "I found his word," and. Well, now somebody's going to have to help me. My mind's going slow. Stephen's worried more than him. Oh, and in the temple, in several places in the Old Testament, when the Israelites started going away from God, while the temple was left in destruction, and they found the Word of God in there. What was it? My mind goes blank of that. That young king was showed it. And he had the biggest revival and stuff and cleaned up the whole country. And that's what he said. It became the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. And I pray that too, right after that there, that his word could be always the joy and rejoicing of my heart. The more you're in it, the more joy you're going to have. And all the way through the Old Testament, and Deuteronomy and different other things. And I've always said this here, God's working out all things for our good, and all of his intentions are good for us. And that's what he says in several times in the Deuteronomy, which is summing up the first five books of the Bible, especially Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, he goes over that there, and they call it the second law because then he gives out the law again there. But in there, now my mind's slipped. Anyway, so it be the joy and rejoicing of our heart. I'd like to turn to Oh, I mentioned about Deuteronomy. What did the first test of Satan to our Lord and Savior when he was 40 days there and hadn't had anything to eat? What was the first thing he said to Jesus to tempt him? Do you remember? Well, speak out. Right. Turn the stones to bread. Well, that's right out of Deuteronomy. And all the other two things are out of Deuteronomy. And he said to turn the stones to bread. And he says, man does not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Anyway, I got to get going. I used that one time over at the steel plant. I used it over the steel plant. I wanted to go to Camp Lilola, and I didn't have vacation time. And I said, well, I'm going to go down there. I'm going to take 2 weeks off work. And we had plenty of men over there at that time. I was in the garage department with the trucks and stuff, and we had 400-some men. I mean, it wasn't a... And I took to this assistant superintendent, and he kept that, as I says, I put that on. I want to go to this camp for boys and girls for Bible camp and help down there. And he procrastinated for about a month. And I went in and seen him a couple of times. I said, well, you know, what is it? So then he turned me over to the superintendent. But that's a long story. But anyway, I got the time off after a while because the superintendent told me how I could take off the 2 weeks and come back, and he would say, it's okay. In other words, going to have me lie. And I got up and said, sir, I don't want those 2 weeks. And I started out there, and he called me back. I said, if I'm going down to tell the kids about God and help about it, and you're telling me the lie? I says, oh, man, did he get mad. He got that guy to write out the pass for me, pound on a desk. He had the whole office on there shivering because he was that type of a guy. he gave me my 2 weeks. So after that, when I would apply for it, I got it. But there's a lot of things. Well, all of it. The older you get, you've got a lot of things there. Anyway, let's get with this here thing now. Psalms 19. Let's turn to Psalms 19. We're going to spit a few days here. Well, of course, that's the psalm with 76 verses in it, and there's just four verses in there that isn't referring to the Bible or his precepts or is the law, and that's the Bible. So 119, it's got 76, and there's only four verses that doesn't have it. So here's some of the verses we all learned when we were younger, and those that are young now should learn about here, is 11 through, was it? Where were the... Okay. Yeah, no, ninth and tenth verse there. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word, and with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander. But most of us didn't learn that one. We went down to the third one. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And there's so there's all these here things they're talking about this year. But I think there's a place, if I can pick it out there. There's that word delight I tell you about. I like delight. And there's eight times in there that the person delighted in the word of God. And also, there's different places in the Bible where God delighted with his people or delighted with a certain person because they were walking with him, right? So, okay, let's go back to the first psalm. These are all familiar verses. First psalm and the whole psalm. Blessed is the man, and it really means each a man, woman, and child, right? Blessed is the person who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And man, there is a lot of ungodly counsel going out there. I feel sorry for the kids in school. They're being taught lies and terrible stuff. And so that's why we got to encourage our children to get in the Bible, because they're getting told a lot of lies. And it's a, in other words, if you're doing real nasty stuff, immoral stuff, you they pat you on the back. In fact, they're trying to put you in it all the time, right? Blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of God, the Bible, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Okay? And he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that bringeth forth a fruit, its fruit in season, and its leaf also will not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It's just like a tree planted by the river. Well, the last chapter of Revelation, we're going to have the tree of life planted by the river, right? And they're going to be able to pick the fruit, a different fruit, every day. What is it, every day of the week? Anyway, so, but the ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Okay, Psalm 19. This is the one that is that we sing in a song, I think it is, if I got the right place there. Psalm 19. Yeah, 7 through, I guess it's 7 through 10 there. 7 through 11. I'll read it. We have that in a chorus, but I read it so we can listen to the thing as you look at it. The law of the Lord is perfect. That's the whole Bible. Converting the soul. That's how we get converted, right? To find out that Jesus died for us, right? The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. As I told you, I wasn't a good reader and stuff like that, but he made me wise. And like it tells you, it makes you wiser than your teacher, right? Not that I've done a lot of wise things. I fell a lot of times. The statutes of the Lord are right. Rejoice in the heart. Don't you like to be rejoicing instead of how we said it at Thanksgiving time? Don't be on Grumble Street and complaining all the time. What was the street now? I can't even remember. Rejoicing of the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord, and that fear can also not be just a trembling fear, a trembling awe, but a reverential fear. That, oh, see, we put most people, put God too flippantly, you get to know. But he's the Almighty God. I mean, you know what he does every time God appeared. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and through the Revelation, man, what happened? Even at the crucifixion, when the Lord Jesus Christ died, what happened? An earthquake, right? The stones rent in pieces, and at the mount when he gave up the law, by them people that were so scared, this rolling thunder and fire and brimstone all over the place, they said, "We don't want to." Want to come that close to God my mind. So it was, in other words, they were scared. And I'm telling you, I get scared with thunder and lightning. It's when it shakes the whole house and stuff, right? That friend that had a nice new house, and he didn't have it very long in Blaisdell years ago, a nice chimney, Man, that thing, it hit that chimney, come down there and blew out a part of a wall and stuff like that. I mean, here we're not getting that far enough. So anyway, okay, fear the Lord. Forever, and the ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous, more to be desired than gold, yea, than fine gold, sweeter than honey and a honeycomb. I like honey, don't you? Yeah. But don't eat too much of it, it says. You get sick and vomit. But honey's better than sugar because it's great. White sugar is no good for you at all. And same thing with white flour. It doesn't have any nutrients in it. So have some whole wheat bread and stuff, some nutrients, and same thing there. Moreover, by them thy servant is warned, and in keeping them is great reward. So we get reward when we thing there. So I'm not going to be able to cover here very much more, but I'll just go down here. In Deuteronomy, it tells in two different places, in the fourth chapter and the sixth chapter, it tells them to teach their children. And we're told to teach our children. And that's a responsibility of the parents. We've got a good Sunday school here, and we got good Christian teachers, thank God for the Christian teachers that are still in regular schools that are sticking their, some of them got fired because they were trying to to help out. But teach the children. Some of these other churches, they're not teaching those children anything about the Lord Jesus Christ and all that there. And so they need to be taught. And Spurgeon, the great evangelist years ago, said that a child be properly taught at 4 or 5 years can rightly accept the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the camps are so good and Sunday schools and things, is to bring those children to the Lord. What did the Lord say when he was busy there and his disciples, what did they do? Well, these children better get away here. What did he say? Suffer the little, or allow the little children to come unto me. Then that's first that child evangelism fellowship, which has been going for 80 or so years, he got that there out of that 18th chapter of Matthew. God is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. And it's also, in Peter, the end of Peter there, says, people are saying, why, he's slack coming, you know. But he's not slack. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. And then in Timothy, I think it is, it's God's will that all should come under the gospel and be saved. So I'm going to have to tell him, but I hope it whets your appetite. Ezekiel, it says, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel. It's 60 times in that one book. Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came and he spoke to him, or the Lord of hosts, and I didn't get the number of how many times, but that's what he's teaching there. Peter said, for the ones that are starting off, desire the sincere milk of the word. You're going to grow thereby. And then, keep on maturing. So, get into the Word of God. I got a list here of, real quick, and I'm over a few minutes here. The God's Word approves, comforts, enlightens, produces faith, strengthens, imparts life, instructions, instills peace, gives joy, endures forever, will judge us, is indestructible, sustains, and will not return void. It's milk as nourishment, bread for to eat, meat for strength, and food for sale, and so on. So, search the scriptures and look in your, if you've got a concordance in the back of your Bible or get a little concordance and look up some of these words, and then you can find them in the Bible. And this, 15 minutes a day, you can read through 3 chapters a day, you can read through the Bible a year. So do we have 15 minutes a day to spend with the Lord? Jim, close with a word of prayer.